Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for looking at keithandthegirl.com/coupons. It's every deal that we announce on the show, which also has a link to Amazon. Anytime you buy through Amazon, buy through our website, we get a cut. You pay the same. And that keeps everything going.
That's keithandthegirl.com/coupons.
Gatorade, the company, the drink company, has been sued $300,000 for slander, for slandering water. The attorney general.
Is water the one suing it?
Yes, and water do not like that water has been under attack. Gatorade has a cell phone game called Bolt, and in the game you play the great runner Usain Bolt, and you run around and collect coins and bottles of Gatorade, but you must avoid water. Water slows the Olympian down. You need your electrolytes.
This is the biggest piece of propaganda bullshit game.
Gatorade portrayed its products positively while inaccurately and negatively depicting water as hindering athletic performance. Making misleading statements is a violation of California law. The company agreed to a settlement that includes the financial penalty, $120,000 of which will be used to fund research into water consumption.
Oh, good news for everyone.
Here's the research you should consume. Research complete. It agreed to keep nasty comments about water to itself.
Wow.
It will refrain from advertising in media where kids make up more than a third of the audience. That's a big deal.
You know what? But it's, I want to be on the side of Gatorade because it sounds so stupid.
Right.
But Gatorade is such a piece of shit. Don't you think? Like, oh, electrolytes. It's sugar and water.
That it's almost like soda.
Yeah. And they really sell it as a sports drink, and I feel like it's bullshit.
You want to sweat orange to make the big hoops. For the first time in 60 years, Brigham Young University has decided to sell caffeinated soft drinks on campus. Ooh, it's about to get lit. The school.
Everyone's going to look like they're on coke suddenly.
Yeah, the school, founded by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, had banned the drinks as part of its Mormon honor code.
Oh my God, this is what they're bringing into their lives? Mm-hmm. The true devil?
Well, sex comes later.
Right. Yeah, don't fornicate, don't jerk off, but drink high sugar and high caffeinated drinks.
They're hoping for bigger and better things, like being allowed to wear a mask on Halloween.
Like running faster.
Right. Don't run too far. You have your soda. That's plenty.
What kind of like church meetings do you think? Like, they really want their soda. I really believe that they will believe in Jesus more. Right. If they were awake more to pray.
Well, I remember in high school.
Yeah, how do you justify after 60 years, this is the thing that comes through?
The student president's position was always to get a soda machine in the cafeteria. And what do you run on if you're running for student president of this college? What can you offer?
Gatorade.
And finally, they're saying, you know what? Let's do it. Let's have some soda.
This would be very interesting because it is like a religion-based school.
Of course.
So you're shifting people, right? So you're kind of messing with their belief system.
Times change.
Okay, guys, this is cool now. Gay sex? No. No.
Well, even
sex in your hand? No. Sex in somebody else? No. Soda, yes.
They fought the soda ban enough. And they got congrats. You know, I know in Catholicism, you have your 40 days of Lent. But if St. Patrick's Day happens to fall on it, Jesus is okay with you drinking and eating meat.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely true.
What? Because St. Patrick is...
Because you protested enough. You're really? Like, I'm not doing it on that day for the Lord. And I'll do a day extra of my choosing.
Oh, do you do that? Is that the compromise?
It's up to you. You're willing to, if it turns into a thing.
Is it going to turn into a thing?
Is it, Father? Is it going to turn into a thing?
What kind of debate system is this? Is there a poll?
You just say you're not going to, I'm not doing it. And they go, it's a sin. I'm not doing it. Well, then it's not a sin. If you're really not going to follow, then it's not a sin. If you're all not going to follow, it's not a sin. You could do this with all the commandments, people. I don't know if you realize that. You all just have to be stubborn. But you've noticed in your town, when you're stubborn on something, the priest lets it go.
Does that really happen often, by the way? Does that really...
Of course it happens. It happens often enough that it's understood. You're allowed St. Patrick's Day off.
If you were a real believer, would this not scare you? like the devil has gotten in our church. Now the leaders are allowing this abomination to enter our holy being, which is our, you know, physical selves. Wouldn't you be like, shouldn't we be scared?
Well, it's bothering people about this soda machine. It'll get vandalized in day three.
So vandalism is okay by the Lord?
You have
for to. For good cause.
You see these religious programs. You got to fight back somehow. That's all. Speaking of Halloween, by the way, it costs the average American $86.
That's not bad.
It doesn't cost me a penny.
You don't buy any candy?
No. That's how I get scary.
You just answer the door and go, what do you mean?
You wasted your time knocking on this door.
Oh, that would be so good if you opened the door and just pretend like, first of all, be scared. Second, be like, do your parents know you're here? And just start talking to them like you've never heard of Halloween before.
I borrow a kid from a friend and I have them open my door and they go, trick or treat. They turn it around. Americans are expected to shell out an average of $86.13 per person. That's up 8.3% to a record $9.1 billion in spending. Compared to last year, $3 more per person. Of the $9.1 billion, $3.4 billion of it will be on costumes, which I see these costumes. Mm-hmm. There's not much to them.
I agree. It's like one in every 1,000 people is like, oh, you took the time.
71% plan to hand out candy. 49%, I don't. I in New York City, I see 18, 19, 20-year-olds coming out, no costume. Trick or fucking treat, you're dead.
Do you even answer the door?
No. Why am I going to answer and say, no thanks, I don't give candy?
Last year...
No, I need ID, and if they have ID, they don't get candy.
I get super excited that people would ring my doorbell. It ends up being like two people, and last year I understood that, so I'm like, let's get like a small thing of candy, because it's like $10 for 300 pieces. Let's just get this one thing. And Baby Butt was like, no, this is the year. We just moved. I feel like we're in a neighborhood where all the kids are. I'm like, they're really far from us. We're not in that part of the neighborhood. And he's like, let's get three. It's only $9.99 a bag or whatever it was. Like, this is great candy anyway. I'm just like, fine. I think two or three people knocked on our door. And for like 2 months, we were like, eh? Whoever came to our house, they're like, you want this candy? You can take some home if you want.
No, it's not worth it. Then what? They want to be friends the rest of the year, these neighbors? I don't need that.
God forbid.
No, I give crayons so they don't come back.
Damn, I just threw out my crayons.
See?
I don't know how to feel about this, because on the one hand, who cares that people are spending money on Halloween? You know, it makes people happy. It's costumes, it's expressive, whatever. Candy is disgusting. But on the other hand, are they just trying to make us feel guilty about how the system is set up to just consume and consume and consume?
71% plan to hand out candy. 49% are going to be decorating their home. 46% carving pumpkins. 35% will attend a party. 31% will take their children trick-or-treating. 23% will visit a haunted house. The most popular kids' costumes this year are Batman and various princess characters. This Batman, what a bore.
This princess characters, what a bore. God damn it. Really? That's where we're still at? Princess characters?
Trick or treat. Oh, even that would bore me if you're Batman. Adults, on the other hand, have been raving over witches and pets, pumpkins and hot dogs. Yeah, it's a nice, sexy hot dog. I like it.
Adults? Did you say adults have been raving over these costumes?
They love it. They love hot dogs and pumpkins.
They're jizzing their pants over their costumes.
Adults, 48% plan to dress up this year.
Do you have any interest in this?
No.
Andrea, do you dress up for Halloween? You do? Really? Do you do the Mean Girls, you are a cat of some sort? No. Do you get gross? I feel like you get gross. Yeah. This is a person who, just when she produces shows, she gets dressed up as a giant dick. So
right.
I guess this is your holiday.
She's the sexy dick. Goes out there, balls on her tits. Everything else nude.
The sexy dick. I want to see that costume. Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on? You're on Keith and the Girl.
Hey, hola. Hi, Mariana, Mimi, Jerry.
Hi, who's dying?
Her abuela.
Well, my homeland is, which is why I'm calling. I still get emotional thinking about it. My family was directly affected by the hurricane that just hit Puerto Rico, as many other families were. At this point, imagine the population of Connecticut being completely cut off from communication, water, or electricity. My family is working on evacuating my grandfather. The house that I grew up in is pretty much destroyed. And I, for the sake of connecting my networks and my resources, am putting together a drag show fundraiser 2 weeks from now. But anybody anywhere can donate on behalf of us, on behalf of me, my family, to trusted charities. I have links on the website. So you guys have a nice network of people, and I just wanted to reach out. If in any way this message touches your heart, please donate. It's all needed.
Was this a male hurricane or a female hurricane?
Fucking bitches. It's always the bitches.
It is, isn't it? There's something to that.
So it was a male hurricane?
Actually, no. You know what? When I was a kid, I went through Hugo, and that was a really bad one. But we actually, it's been over 80 years since a storm like this hit the island. So it's a really big deal.
Was your family able to move at all? Or no, because it's an island?
My grandfather was holed up in a room for hours as the house broke down around him. He was by himself. We were not able to make contact with him until Sunday. So we spent days literally on Facebook and on walkie-talkie apps trying to find anybody that could get to his part of the mountain. Roads had been washed away. Bridges had been washed away. Finally, some in-laws were able to drive up there on Sunday and check on him. He was alive. The neighbors had been bringing him food. And they were able to convince him to, you know, come on, let's get you out of here. And they took him to their house, which was fared better. And at this point, all us U.S. families are getting flights to get them out of there.
Where do you live?
I live in San Francisco. So the fundraiser is going to be in Oakland at the Port Bar. It's a nice little gay club that I call my home away from home. All the pictures that you see on my social media from there, and they're very generous, and they host a lot of fundraisers. So I'm just putting a call to action to just help in any way.
What's the website?
SophiePod.com/contact. So it's my podcast website. I just added some information on there and the links to the trusted charities. We're trying to say, please avoid the Red Cross. Please donate to the charities that are coming out of Puerto Rico.
Why don't people
go to them?
Why don't people like the Red Cross? What are they doing that we don't trust?
Well, no, we're paying admin fees. We're paying for them to run themselves as a business half the time. And the money is not getting to the people that need it. So it's better to donate to the charities that are the local charities, because there's a better chance of the money getting there. And if anybody wants to be extra generous and donate directly to me, that's going to be routed directly to my grandfather, because we are going to have to rebuild his house and we are going to have to put him up out here in the States for a while. So I am not too ashamed to say, if you want to send it directly to me, you will be helping a Puerto Rican in need.
I would feel weird sending it to you, but then I have to say, but not for your family, please, for the other families. So I don't know how I'm going to play it, but we'll try our best. All right, Mimi, best of luck. Thank you.
I love you guys. Thank you.
All right, bye. All right, so there you have it. Yeah, it's there's something with global warming, right? We can look into it, perhaps.
Permission granted.
What is it, seven hurricanes in a row?
Yeah.
It's insane. By the way, the VIP program we have, every show we ever did in spinoff shows, Chemda did a new one, talked under her show, What's My Name? And she talked to a blind person, and they found, first of all, they found this studio. Did they need a handler?
They have a cane. His name is Wale. He has a cane because he's almost 100% blind, so he definitely needs that to navigate. But when he reaches the door, he asks for somebody to come out because it's a new space. So I walked him in. And then you just show the lay of the land in here, just so that.
What do you show?
You just go there's a lot of describing happening.
Do you take his cane and you bang it against the wall? You're like, that's a TV, that's a microphone, that's desk, that's a chair, that's me.
You know what though? It's like, we're so not used to describing things I don't know, just the way of talking, that I found myself going, should I just take his hand and go, here's the desk? And then I'm like, no, probably he doesn't want me to touch him at all. So I was just like, in front of you, there are two desks. You might want to go a little bit more to the left. When we first walk in, this is not a great space for a blind person to come into because my bike is in the hallway. There's a file cabinet in the hallway. So I had to describe the hallway. So when you come in, I narrowed the hallway too much. My bike will be on your left because the cane, it'll hit that the bike is not like a solid thing. It's like right. all over the place. So I go, just so you know, I narrowed this hallway by half. So we're going to have to walk to the right of it because to the left, there's a bike and a file cabinet. So there's stuff that you're describing that normally you wouldn't describe when people are first coming into your home. But I'm like, oh, to the right is a kitchen. I would say that to anybody coming in. But to him, I'm like, to the right, there's a kitchen. The curtain is the thing that's the door. We don't
Do
have a door
like
there.
Everything's better than it is?
I should, right? I'm just like, the decor is fantastic in here. You would be so impressed. Definitely nothing's from IKEA.
Here's somebody's first post on our forums. Finally registered for the forums to say thank you for this episode. I'm low vision and have the inverse of your guest's condition, though not as severe as his. I often feel shame and guilt when I see inspirational stories about other legally blind people doing sports, starting businesses, conquering something or other. I have some mental health issues I let ride on the coattails of the disability that people can understand. But then I don't know what to say when they suggest the things that I too could be doing. Anyway, I was pleasantly surprised by the topic and I just wanted to say thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for listening.
And amazing how well things are spelled. People with eyeballs have no excuse. They really, really don't.
I love that that's what you notice.
Right.
Hey, guys, if a blind person can type an email to me with no grammar mistakes, then you can too.
It seems odd. This week, on Friday, we'll be watching the Air Buds documentary in our chat room. It's the podcasting documentary just released by Comedy Dynamics on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, On Demand, and many other platforms. So you download it on your end, then we'll all virtually watch it together in the chat room. 7:30 this Friday. Comedy Film Nerds put together this documentary. We're highly featured in it.
We're so excited. I mean, this is so exciting. Aisha Tyler's in it. Like this giant Marc Maron. Like people that you definitely heard of in the podcasting world, in the comedy world. And we're featured. I mean, they start our segment with like, somebody saying, look, if you're going to do a documentary about podcasters, you got to get, you know, the OGs, like the original people. And then they cut to us and I'm like, that's me. I hope Aisha Tyler watches this. I hope she calls me. I just think it's such a big deal.
So keithandthegirl.com/chat this Friday, 7:30. We put up the polls, of course, in our forums. By the way, be sure that you're subscribed to our forums. It's very fun to interact. Once in a while, yeah, death threat here and there. Sure. They might not agree with your opinion, but it's still a lot of fun. Some polls that we put up related to each show. Of course, I've been talking about my separation and this kind of thing. And we asked the audience, will you marry Keith? Was a poll. 35% yes.
Wow.
So easy, everybody, easy. Let's go on a date first.
Wow.
But not bad.
There's your dating app. You just put up polls. Yeah. Who wants to date Friday the 6th?
Right. You want to have virtual sex tonight? Yes, no. We asked the audience, what's more your speed, monogamy or being open? 71% say monogamy. 29% are frisky animals.
Well, I wonder how many of those monogamy people are actually operating like they have an open relationship.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I prefer monogamy, but I have been fucking the UPS guy.
Right. Have you done cocaine was one of the polls.
In this room, 2 out of 3.
25% say yes.
That's it?
I think it's high.
You think so?
A fourth of everybody has done cocaine.
Yeah, but I feel like people are, you know, they just kind of try something once a lot of times. Like, I always thought I was in the minority here. Now I feel like doing a poll on every drug. Did you try weed? Did you try alcohol? Did you try Molly? Mushrooms.
Okay.
I feel like that's going to be the real science. You're surprised? You're not surprised by this? You thought it'd be lower?
I thought it'd be lower.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a big deal. People are scared about it. It's right? Coke and heroin. That's what people are scared of.
I think heroin, I think 5 to 10% of our audience would have used it. Whereas Coke is, you take a bump. Heroin, people feel like it's now my life is over.
Kevin Hart and his pregnant wife will still throw a lavish baby shower. So picture going to that party. Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Good, brother. How you doing? Good, thanks. This is fun. We going to take some pictures of the two of you? Hey, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Kevin Hart is paying $117,800 for an extravagant event in Malibu, California on October 1st. The shower is the Little King theme, and he'll even have a little tiger running around.
Oh my God.
And a diaper, excuse me, a chimp, not a tiger, a chimp. I guess there was a chimp in The Lion King, and the chimp will be diapered. So that'll be cute.
This is an extravagant party.
Mm-hmm.
You have an animal running around.
Yeah, animals running around in a diaper. You're like, hey, Kevin, that's great.
Talk to me about the food. What could you possibly spend $100,000 on for a baby shower?
I bet the irony is it's vegan. Usher is accused of giving another person herpes, this time a man, another man, as a matter of fact. So women and men, he's giving it out to everybody.
I know, we're going to keep reporting every time he sticks his dick in someone and gives them herpes. We get it. He has herpes.
But he's not taking a test or saying that it's not him. You know what I mean? I mean, he's denying it, but that's it. That's the end of the denying. So that's why it's a thing.
Mm.
An unidentified man, says the R&B star, exposed him to the venereal disease when he had sex at a spa in L.A. Usher has refused to take an STD test.
Oh.
And refuses to admit that he has herpes. One man and two women are already suing the singer for millions of dollars for allegedly giving them the sexually transmitted disease. The allegations came after the singer had paid $1 million to a woman he allegedly infected with herpes.
Oh, that's his first mistake, I feel like.
Yeah, of course.
How do you even prove that I gave it to you? That's not how the disease works.
Or maybe somehow you're able to prove it and you
There's
went with
no
a million.
Way.
A million.
$1 million? Oh, that's right. We had a poll. Would you get herpes for $1 million? I'm into it.
Yeah, come to so into
I'm
it.
So into it.
Come to so into it. She's not going to count the money. Let's put it that way. Anthony Weiner has received 21 months of hard time.
Are they making a pun there?
I am. And he's not getting off easy.
So this is for the underage sexting?
Yep.
I know this is going to sound weird, but that's a long time for him, for his stature in our social ridiculousness.
His team agreed that it'd be between 21 and 27 months. It ended up being 21 months. The max could have been up to 10 years, which I think it should have been. A teary-eyed Weiner grabbing tissue after tissue was ordered to federal prison after sending his messages to a 15-year-old girl. And it's more than just messages, by the way. Let's be clear.
Did he send his dick?
I'll tell you what he sent.
Okay.
And 3 years of supervised release, a $10,000 fine. I was a very sick man for a very long time, he said.
He said this before, no?
Yes. I was the adult. If I had done the right thing, I would not be standing before you today. And I hope the judge was like, profound. Great. Oh, that's great. You would not. That is true. You would not be here if you did the stuff that brought you here. If you didn't do that stuff, you wouldn't be here. That's a great point. Okay. Can we continue, sir? He was sporting his wedding band. I'd take that off. I wouldn't remind people, right? Isn't that worse?
No, because people associate being married with being a good person.
Then wear a t-shirt with your kid on it.
No, they now associate that with his dick.
Right. Well, Carlos Danger.
Oh, no.
You know, T-Dog.
T-Dog.
In three video chat sessions, Weiner used graphic and obscene language to ask the minor victim to display her naked body and touch herself, which she did. He did know.
No.
He did know that she was 15.
Oh, man.
That's a life sentence. Come on. Anthony Weiner, a former congressman and candidate for mayor, asked a girl who he knew to be 15 years old to display her naked body and engage in sexually explicit behavior for him online. And she did.
I know that he's sick. Not that it matters. He can go to jail for that long, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting that he thinks at like, every time he texts someone, he's on the front cover, the front of the newspaper. So why would it be different with this 15-year-old? How sick are you?
Because he leaves a trail
every time.
It can't happen again. It's been happening so many times. I get caught. What are the roulette chances that it's not going to land on red?
It just shows like that he is not in this world. He's just not. Like, that is so demented to me that you're just gone. Where are you?
I hope when Anthony Weiner says, look, I have a disease, I'm so incompetent, blah, blah, blah. I hope the other side plays videotapes of him running for mayor where he says how competent he is and how together he is and how his mind is ready to fix this city. And then they go, so we got to just sentence you as a plain old asshole.
Do you think that's different? Do you think that someone could be criminal minded or sexually deviant? Deviant is, I know, a nice word for this. But do you think they can do that and still, like, run a company or run, you know,
he was sexting up to 19 people at the end of this. Mm-hmm. No. No, you can't run an Apple shop. You can't run a fruit stand. He had sought probation. He argued he was sick and needs therapy. His sexting habit dates back to at least 2011, of course, when that errant tweet of his bulging underpants destroyed his career. It went online by accident. And then he couldn't even admit if that was him or not, as if we'd have proof. And then he'd be like, oh, I guess somebody hacked my window.
It's so interesting because when it went online by accident, I don't even remember if it was like, no, it didn't, or I don't know. He's such a weirdo about everything. But when it did go on by accident, it's like it opened this floodgate. Like, he saw his bulge in the newspaper and said, yes, that's what I want. And consecutively, like, we saw his bulge, like, once a year at least since then.
You think he wanted to get caught?
No, there's something about seeing his bulge on the paper that I think makes him hard. Because I don't understand anything else.
I think they love when people like you say that.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
Yes, I have a problem. Yeah. That's the thing? That's why he keeps repeating it. Because he's like, oh, I hear that's the thing people feel bad about. It's a big problem I have. No, it's a problem, sure.
Yeah, so what is not the problem?
No one can be an asshole anymore. No one can be a fucking creep that fucks little girls. You have to want it deep down to be caught. No, he doesn't want to be caught. He wanted to keep doing it. He's not pleased.
He just fell off his, you know, okay, so until then, we don't know about this. It's not like he just started doing it, you know, 6 years ago, right? So once he got caught, he just got caught over and over again.
Yes.
Oh, no, well, we had the spotlight on him now.
Well,
so
now
he's
going
to get
the spotlight. He's in the news. This girl's like, I can be a famous 15-year-old.
Or like,
and she makes up some stupid story like, I did it just to see if he kept doing it. Like, yeah, but you really did take your clothes off. I mean, you went pretty far to catch him.
Yeah, but that's why we don't allow 15-year-olds to do it with 40-year-olds, because they could convince themselves that they're doing something like this. You know what I mean? Maybe she was enjoying it, maybe she wasn't, but she's 15, so let's leave her alone. You know what I mean? Like, I get why she would say any of the dumb shit that she would say. But him, I don't understand. But now that you mention it, I guess it's not that his floodgates were open, it's that our floodgates were open. It's that if one woman came out, another woman felt empowered to not be, you know, punched down by the press.
Right,
so
and
the
as
same
that's
like,
happening,
yeah.
he's still a horn dog, and he's still doing it.
That's what I don't understand.
But
what
it's not
kind
he doesn't want to get caught. He's not the one, or he'd make himself get caught more.
Then he's just so dumb that he gets caught that
he's
many
just
times?
So horny.
Okay.
So fucking horny. And there they are. Out of school.
Okay, so I get that's... I'm not saying he has a problem to dismiss that, like, he's just such a good person, he has a problem. His problem runs deep. But you don't like when I say it, stuff like that.
No. No, he's just a piece of shit. That's the beginning and end. And...
No rehab.
No.
No fixing it.
Easily
no understanding.
Easily it's been 6 years. If he's been going to rehab, those coaches should be fired.
Okay, fair.
he can't. He took some courses over 6 years, but he can't stop Skyping somebody. You know, and with a 15-year-old, and Skype doesn't come in good sometimes, and you got to keep trying. I'll tell you what, if you can't get over that, then you're a lost cause, or you have terrible, terrible teachers.
Yes. Do you think that... If he finally recognizes that he's a lost cause and everybody like you...
Like you said, he recognized it every year, but go ahead.
No, because I think there's layers to it. I think you can recognize it as a, oh shit, I fucked up again. But then when you recognize where your disease comes from and you work on it, do you think there's no hope for this kind of fucking asshole?
There's no hope for him.
Okay.
None.
Do you ever believe that there's hope for someone who does like really shitty consecutive things?
For the most part, no.
Okay. Obviously, I believe that there is rehab. I'm not saying for him. I think he is garbage and it's enough already. And he got to lead us as a person, which is gross. And fuck you. You probably are messing with our shit because I don't think that you can just keep your head straight because you're an idiot.
Right.
But...
No. I mean, maybe if it's drugs or alcohol that are affecting something, you're not doing that anymore. You can become a different person. But it's not like he started picking up booze and sexting women.
I think sometimes this is... drugs and alcohol. Where drugs and alcohol, you could put it down, and this, you have to convince yourself that it's not this drug and alcohol thing. It is your thing. Because drugs and alcohol, people do because they have things like this in their brain. and they shut it down with the drugs and alcohol. So once you put that down, you have to then deal with like the rest of the shit that you have.
I would put this guy in the electric chair. Okay. You know, you got to think.
Time's up, right?
Time's more than up, okay. Yes.
Time's up, I understand. Not everybody wants to tolerate your shit until you're ready to learn.
He gets caught and he's running for mayor anyway.
Agreed. Why do I need reminded of all this? Do you know what I mean? Like, no, I think he's a piece of shit. I don't want to vote for him. I think he should be in jail. I think like it's ridiculous. I'm just wondering if 10 years from now, he spoke to you from such an epiphany. Is there such an epiphany place for somebody like this or never, 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 never?
In the documentary Wiener, he already committed the sex crime once. He's trying to redeem himself. And he's rolling his eyes and talking down to his wife and his staff. He really comes off like a piece of shit, if you ask me.
I believe you. No, I believe
Instead of being humbled and embarrassed and so thrilled that people are willing to campaign for you, that somehow they look past the sexting and being a weirdo and lying. I don't know if that's my kitchen floor with my dick by it. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Really? Because I know it's not me.
Well, anybody who gets caught starts lying, right?
I guess.
Then you're a liar already.
Yeah, you know? I go on TV and I start lying about it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know. I know he's so a piece of
shit. He thinks he's clever too. He's like, you know what? I don't even have to think of it. I'll just talk my way about it. He's very smug.
He's nowhere in recovery. This is not a recovery person. Everything he says about recovery is garbage.
He sent a revolting photo of a bulge in his underwear. This is with his son next to him. That was with his 15-year-old, if you remember. And he was surprised. That was too much for her. He's like, what'd I do wrong?
If this was your son, would you be like, go fuck yourself?
Yeah, of
course. Or would you be like, look, if you're ready to finally look at what a piece of shit you are, give me a call.
No. I don't even want you on my phone. Mm. You're not, bye. Goodbye. I'll campaign against you. Now I'm the mayor and I didn't even want to be.
Same as him.
Yeah, me and Trump. We didn't want to be here. We just got pissed off. Wiener's legal team wrote that the 15-year-old had received $30,000 in an expose on Wiener and that she sought to influence the election. So their strategy was to make her look like the bad person.
Yeah, too bad what she did. Even if she did it to overthrow him in his little puny little pedestal, it doesn't matter. She's 15. Oh, surprise. She had negative intentions. Who gives a shit?
I was teaching him. Let's see. Wiener said, oh, my son was the most perfect thing I had in my life, and I was teaching him the wrong thing. See, this is what an ego this guy has. Even now, to this day, he says, finally, I am teaching him the right lessons, accepting responsibility. Listen, son. When you're a grown adult, you know, big boy stuff, like you can determine your own bedtime. I'm talking about an adult. You have a job and this kind of thing. And you get caught, even if you don't get caught, you end up sexting underage girls. Maybe you send a picture of your son sitting next to you while your heart is a rock, fantasizing about these, again, these little girls. And they go, whoa, wait, I went a little too far. Let's own up and have responsibility. So that's what I'm trying to teach you.
And, yeah, it's so too soon for these fucking fake humility bullshit. Yeah. I learned my lesson.
It's kind of good. It's good it happened. I'm not glad it happened, but it happened, and it's good it happened. Because now I can tell you about, okay, Bruno needs the phone. But what I'm telling you is that...
No, you're definitely right about that. I don't think he's rehabilitated in any way, shape, or form. I don't even think he's ready. I don't think he speaks the language of it. I think he's faking everything.
Him and Huma have a divorce hearing on November 15th. He will be talking through a prison phone and will lose everything.
You think she's going to take the alimony?
I think he's going to have it all.
You think she's going to have it all?
She's going to have it all. Yeah. Dick pics and everything. Yeah, there you have it. Wiener put in the hole.
This poor woman who tried, who said, I believe that you can be a better man, and I believe that we can make it through.
Who knows? In that documentary, you don't know much about her, Huma, at all. Seems kind of stiff, but, you know, I don't know if that's just the way it was put together. But I can't help but think, like, all right, just, this is the fucking game. Shut the fuck up. I work for Hillary Clinton, who will most likely be the president of the United States. Can you not fucking blow this for me? Because people are so immature that if we get a divorce, it could be bad for me. somehow may be bad for her. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm going to run for mayor, you motherfucker.
Right, right.
You don't know who was around you. You don't know. You try to hire somebody, you don't know what kind of person you're dealing with. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. This is what I'm saying. Are you hiring? What, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Where not to get pedophiles?
Pedophiles.
ZipRecruiter. All right, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's a ZipRecruiter. Pedophile haters. They're known for it. They're different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. And finds out, do they like children too much? In fact, 80% of employers who post their job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day, not to some John Wayne Gacy come lately. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why law enforcement loves ZipRecruiter. And we do too. It's been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. One more time, try it free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. All right. All right. All right, time for everybody's favorite segment. It's movie time. There will be a Pretty Woman play coming to Broadway, the musical Pretty Woman.
That's so uncomfortable.
Oh, I can't wait. You go there with your family. You see the piano scene where he eats out the prostitute. Oh, that's good. Wonder what the music is behind that.
What's behind your back?
Nothing. Nothing. I swear. What's behind your back? Nothing. Nothing. I swear. Get out. Get out. Out, out, out.
Yeah. Nobody ever surprises me.
It was only floss. I love you.
Eat my pussy and touch my boobs, but never kiss me on the mouth. Touch my tits and feel my ass one finger in, but never kiss me on the mouth. I get picked up, you get sex, we get intimate, but not on the mouth. I think we can write this.
Why can't I kiss her on the mouth? Why can't I kiss her on the mouth? M&M's $10 in the back. We'll be back out to this intermission. See if I can kiss her on the mouth, folks. The Macarena came out 21 years ago.
I just puked a little in my mouth.
Yeah.
I fucking hated that song.
I saw the Mamba number 5 guy. He's doing a commercial. I forget what it's for, but man, just because you did one of these dopey... Oh, my God.
Or you just name women. Literally, a little bit of Monica by my side, a little bit of this girl on the left.
Picture, he has to work with these poor producers, you know?
What do you think? Should I say, ladies and gentlemen, Mamba number 5, and then the song?
It's like, I don't give a shit. We're paying by the hour. Do what you want.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Mamba number 5.
What do you think about that? Yes. Wrote Sympathy for the Devil. Yes, this is sure. Whatever you think.
Oh, shit, I forgot to mention my wife. Well, we're going to go in the next hour. I did mention Monica, right?
I swear to God, Lou. You mentioned everybody.
Okay. It implies I get a lot of women.
We get it, Lou. We get it.
You're sure about Monica? She's going to be...
That was the first one, Lou.
Okay, they're all by my side.
Can we go? Let's get out of here. Number one movie of the weekend, Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
You didn't watch any movies this weekend.
I found a way.
No, did you really?
Uh-huh. I snuck out camping.
No.
Uh-huh.
You would, though.
No, between camping and today, though, I did see a movie.
No, you did not.
Of course.
You literally came back from the woods and went to the movie theater.
My audience demands this of me.
Opening weekend.
Yes. I don't play this. Somebody wrote me the other day, Keith, with all the spoils. I'm like, do you think I enjoy this? I just came back from camping. I couldn't even relax.
First of all, how was camping? We'll get to your movie theater.
Camping I enjoyed.
It was your first non-alcoholic camping. In fact, it was so non-alcoholic. We've been doing this camping trip for, I think, a decade now, where it's group camping. Mm-hmm. There's usually a slightly different group every year, but you maybe missed one. Mm-hmm. We used to take an entire keg, and by the time we were done, I was able to lift the keg with one hand.
Mm-hmm. You get stronger throughout it.
Yes. And this time we were like, you know what, we're not bringing, because it was less and less, we stopped bringing a keg, we start bringing, you know, one bottle of something, and then less than that. And so this time we were like, you know what, we don't even know who's drinking anymore, just bring your own booze. Nobody brought booze. Mm-hmm. It was the first time not only you weren't drinking, but literally nobody was drinking.
I started eating berries, hoping I'd get fucked up from the trees.
We were smoking weed.
Right. So I tell you, with weed, it's very, very easy to be sober. And that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's fun and funny. So, yeah.
Were there any down times where you were like, oh, I'm stuck?
No, I didn't take, when everybody was smoking, I didn't take weed at first. And then as I'm setting up my tent, I'm like, oh, I should have taken weed.
Why? What was the change?
Am I going to be sober for 4 days? Jesus. I doubt it.
And what happens to you when you smoke?
I get high.
But like, are you just loopy and that's it?
I guess. Yeah. You know, I'm not putting the car together.
Was it different for you smoking this amount, this much, this long, 4 days?
No.
Okay. Did you get bored at any point?
No.
And you usually, if I'm right, usually step away from the group here and again. And you did this time. I felt like you were sleeping a lot. Is that normal?
The second or third day, I slept a lot.
What do you think of that?
It's fun to sleep. This is what would happen. You ever see in the paper, they go, marijuana studies. Come over here, smoke marijuana, and we'll study you. This is how my study would be. Were you bored? No. What's it like when you smoke? You get high. Okay. And did you sleep a lot? Yeah. And? I like to sleep. How long is this question?
Okay, but it seems like there's no difference between drinking and smoking to you in terms of like you can, is the word party? You can socialize in a fun manner. Except you get really goofy on weed, right?
I guess.
Is there a difference? Andrea's saying yes, you really do get goofy on weed. Like super duper goofy. those are some eyes. She needs to talk about your weed consumption right now. What's going on?
All right, Andrea, what have you observed during camping?
Camping was just me studying you the whole time. Okay. I have charts, behavioral charts.
Were you ever camping when you were boozing and then stopped? Like, did you have that transition?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so. I think I've only ever camped while not drinking.
Okay.
You get giddy at night, though. I've only noticed you're like giddy like everybody else if you're high during the day, but the craziest you were is if you were high at night around the campfire. Like, I'd feel like Keith would come over and I'd be like, in 20 minutes we're all gonna be screaming at each other. And I'm always right. I think it's also partially you, but it would be like me, you, Xerxes picking on somebody. We definitely picked on Wally for like 6 hours straight.
He was scared of ghosts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I don't know if it's the weed or just like the late night deviance of we're acting like asshole, but we were screaming with laughter for sure. The first night, I think. No, every night I was like, when Keith comes out from the darkness and sits with us and he's smoking weed, he's going to start. And I love it. I'm in there too, but it's like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's like, why your eyes are wild, like you're excited, you're like just excited for the next weird thing. We were talking about how Wally was telling us a story about ghosts, and we somehow twisted it into him fucking his cousin, and then it was like,
you know, the natural progression. These are some ghosts.
Yeah, I know. Just you get very into a bit, I'll right. say, when you're high.
Mm-hmm. I only got lost coming from the bathroom once.
That's impressive.
But if my flashlight went out, I'd be like, I live here now.
Oh, yeah.
I am so scared of the dark. And we were in the most dark, it felt like, this time. Because normally we're at a site where, like, just outside the site. As soon as you leave the site, you see the bathroom, mm-hmm. which has, like, light already. So right. there's a beacon, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And this time you had to, like, walk through a couple campsites. Mm-hmm. So it's just darkness. So it's my flashlight, right? I have my flashlight on and I normally don't walk by myself. You know, somebody will come with me or Baby Butt's with me or whatever. This time he was in the tent and I was going to go get him. Oh God, I'm such a city idiot. You know what I mean? So I turn on the flashlight. I'm walking and in my head, I swear to God, it's like how many feet to our tent? Just nothing. Just three campsites to our tent.
It's a lot closer in the light.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. So all I could see is in front of me, just down in front. And I'm just like, but I flash my flashlight to the right and left every once in a while, like a paranoid city idiot.
And, no, I do that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm going and I go in my head, I swear the entire time, I'm like, nothing's happening in the dark. No one's in the dark. No one's waiting to jump at you. Everything's fine. Everything's fine in the dark. You're just in the dark. It's regular, normal things. It's like the light, but it's dark. Oh my God, everything's mm-hmm. fine. So I'm just talking to myself and I keep checking to the right and to the left. And I'm finally like on our campground, but there's like two tents away. And I look over, I point my flashlight to the right and I'm like, oh my God, that's a deer like right there. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. And I just shined my light at it. Mm-hmm. That means when I was like, deer. And I turned back and I was like, okay.
You're inviting the deer in with
yes,
the light.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just like.
That's how you bring it into your life.
You know, we're in this deer's home. Mm-hmm. Like they live here. And now I'm like 2 feet away. I was probably like 10 or 20 feet mm-hmm. away. But to me, it was
it's
like,
on another campsite.
Right there. It's on the same campsite. Mm-hmm. It really was right there. It was right there. And it was looking at me, pointing its whole body at me. And I'm like, I just took the flashlight away from it. Does that mean, because I heard about like cars, you know, you're supposed to turn off the light so it could like jump over you. I'm like, is it going to jump over me? Is it going to jump at me? Is it going to start ramming itself into me?
That would be insane.
I was so freaked out, but I was trying to stay super calm. I went into the tent and by the time I got to the tent, I was opening it like somebody's chasing me.
Oh yeah, I do that.
I put one foot in the tent. I'm just like, everything's okay. Everything's okay. I didn't know I was doing this, but later hubby was like, as soon as your feet hit, I didn't even know what was happening. You just were coming into the tent like, everything's fine. I just saw deer. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's mm-hmm. normal. Everything's fine. The deer's not going to get me. Obviously, nobody cares about us being in this tent. Everything's fine. And I had to like take a few minutes to calm down.
Oh, yeah. I have this internal monologue every single
really?
Night. Yeah. I'm
I
scared
feel
of the
like
dark.
Such a puss.
Yeah. I know. And you know, it's ridiculous.
But it is.
That's why you have this like, you're like babying yourself in your head. Like, it's okay that you feel that way, but clearly there's nothing going on. Not that, what doesn't help is there's 7 billion acorns everywhere. I don't know if it's acorn season on that. Yeah. What was that? I don't think I've ever seen that many acorns in my fucking life. Is this a prank? And they would fall in the middle of the night and land on the ground.
And I'd hear, on your tent.
Yeah. And I'd be like, okay, it's the acorn.
It's so loud.
But what if it wasn't the acorn? You know what I mean? Yeah. Now my guard's down because we live in Acorn City. But there's a guy with a gun and that was actually
and I'm like, what is between me and everybody else? This stupid fucking tent that
sure.
you can unzip. Mm-hmm. I'm just leaving my shit. Andrea left her, and I've done this before in this campground, she left her phone in the bathroom charging. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to walk to the bathroom and you're just like, there's all these people, dozens of people on this campground, we're just trusting each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone unplugged my phone and put, I thought it was stolen for sure. And then I went back and it was in the shower.
That's
on
weird.
The shower floor.
That's even weirder.
Mm-hmm.
Just take my phone.
I'm
uncomfortable.
Maybe what are you doing in there?
I saw that in Blair Witch. Yeah.
Right. That's the emblem that they're going to. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not logical, but then a little bit of your mind is like, if it was happening though, and I'm acting so chill. Mm-hmm. Now I'm making myself available to all these murderers and ghosts and animals and
but
acorns with daggers.
Acorns with daggers now.
Uh-huh.
When you would run to your back to your tent and you'd be struggling with the, would you find yourself struggling with the zipper? Because when you
yes.
go fast on a tent, it snags.
It's caught. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do it every time.
Yeah, so imagine the bad guys have to go through that too.
Sure. Yeah. I'll be perfectly safe. I built a tunnel under my tent and I just burrow out.
They're trying to unzip. You keep throwing fabric in the way.
I have my own acorns that I've taken. I have a gun that shoots acorns. Yeah, I got lost too. I remember the first time, and I was super high the first night, and I was walking back to the tent, and I was like, there's no chance I'm going to find it. And then I tried, and I'm like, no, not even close. And so then I went back to the campsite and had to have Xerxes like explain it to me again. But he knew. I got lost at a music festival when there were thousands of tents when I was in Canada. And I was like, I might just have to sleep on the ground tonight because I'm too impaired to handle this. And yeah, it's fun, but it can get real.
Yeah, but this is so stupid to get lost here. It really is. You just go straight and you find it. But yeah, I got lost too.
But one campsite says 17. The other one says 7. Maybe I was tripping and I don't know.
Yeah.
There's all these cars that look the same.
Do you tell yourself you're not going to ask for help? Like, there's another tent, but I'm not asking.
Oh yeah, I'll like barter with myself for them. And then finally I'll be like, there's no chance. You've no chance. There's no chance.
I got lost with Hennessy. And he kept being like, it's this way. And I'm like, it's not that way. And then I was like, we're either going to argue about which way it is or we're going to start walking one way. And to be honest, all the ways lead to the same way. So mm-hmm. we walked around in a giant circle and did get back to mm-hmm. where we were. We just went the long way. I'm just like, I guess it's always this way. You really actually can't get lost. You'll just hit the office and you'll be done. You'll be like, I walked too far.
In England, four hikers in England got so stoned while climbing to the top of a mountain, they forgot how to get back.
I can see me doing that for sure.
They smoked weed while trekking 3,000 feet to the top of Scafell Pike, the highest mountain in England. But the drugs hit them too hard and they had to call cops for help.
I mean, that's stupid. Just wait an hour.
Right.
Yeah, but you're so high that you don't know where you are. You're not going to be like, well, what's the logical thing to do in this situation?
Yeah, I really think the lesson here is nothing's happening. Stop calling the cops on your weed ass. You're so stupid right now. Just know that you're stupid.
Sure.
And every time you're high and you feel this stupid, don't call the cops, you dumb shit.
An experienced weed smoker would know that, though. If they were inexperienced. They climbed 3,000
feet with weed. They better be experienced, morons.
I don't, maybe it's like, who was the guy that was on here before that you dated for a minute?
Oh, let's
God,
list them.
God, who? Ray.
Don't list
them. Trey. Oh, they rhyme. I didn't date Nick Turner, but things went down.
We'll get there.
Luke Mones also didn't date, but things went down. Is this a ploy to get me to name everybody?
This took a different turn than I
John
thought.
John F. O'Donnell.
I already know the answer,
didn't
but keep
date,
going.
But things went down.
What's that guy like? Do you just go like, hey, do another personality. I'm not feeling this one.
No, he's fun. He's one of the funnest people I've ever hung out with. Can be exhausting, but is great.
I was thinking the guy from the Man Whore podcast.
Oh, Billy Procida.
Billy Procida never...
That counts?
Billy Procida never smoked weed and he was on...
Oh, it's the best. Yes.
And he was on our show during the marathon. He's like, yeah, okay, I'll smoke. Sure. You never did it before. Now you'll do it.
And this is work.
Uh-huh.
This is where you work.
Well, I was offered. What am I going to do?
Sure.
And then, of course, I start playing different sound effects that his brain's talking to him that everybody realizes he's fake.
I loved it. You were on the megaphone, too, with an echo.
Right.
Like, Billy.
Everyone's looking at you, Billy.
Yeah.
Billy.
I listened to it over and over again.
He switched. He's such a fucking demon. He switched from Billy's, only Billy's headphones. He switched from left to right.
Like, uh-huh.
Are you hearing me now, Billy? I'm over here now, Billy. Billy, they're all looking at you. Oh, and he's physically freaking out.
So fun to pick on. It's so easy. And you're right. You're right. Why would you do that on a big podcast? I guess maybe because you think it's a marathon. It's going to be fun. But like, what? I'm not doing coke at a first show just because it's there. And why not? You know? It's crazy.
Speaking of camping, I started thinking if you're back in the day of Game of Thrones mm-hmm. and you pass somebody hanging around a campfire, do you bother asking if they're on vacation?
Yeah.
Or do you say, are you working or are you guys just celebrating? Because I can't tell because this is what we do always.
Yeah, it is funny that we go into this space, mm-hmm. we bring food and we're like, for this weekend, it'll take us 3 hours to make chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Any other plans? No.
Right. Yeah, we're going back to medieval times.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great. I'm laying on the ground in the forest for no reason. It's just nice.
But anyway, I called the cops on everybody.
Okay, good.
They obviously did not show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping for a big reward because that was Pablo territory, if you know what I mean.
What were you debating with for coming or not? Because you came last minute. Were you debating anything?
I don't know. I was just thinking, do I want to go?
I feel like you did that last year too.
I probably do it every year.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah.
Yeah. I forget what things are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, all people I like doing a fun thing.
Will I have fun? Mm. I even said that. I love the band Tesla. And I saw them live and it was great. And at the time, it was the best show I've ever seen. And then they were here in New York again. I'm like, do I want to go? And people are like, to the best show you've ever seen again? Mm. You might not want too much of the best show.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that reminds me of how, you know, you talk about your ex. Like, you say that you want to do nice things. And she's like, no, that's different than what we normally do. And she rejects it right away. Is that a similar thing that you do?
Yes, Hamza, you're on her side. We get it.
Oh, my God. This is the reason he didn't want to come.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I would just start grilling
him. We did
him.
Every night talk. Why don't we do 20 minutes on why your marriage didn't work out? Mm-hmm. And we'll do a round the table discussion.
Well, people would go, hey, Keith. And I'd be like, oh, I got to take a nap. Bye.
And then we'll wave booze in his face for 20 minutes.
It is funny what you describe as like Keith time by the campfire, because mm-hmm. it reminds me, like, on Sunday morning when we woke up, it was like just a very chill. We were passing a blunt and whatever. And I posed a question to the group. I was like, Asmin. And I went into this deep conversation with people and they were like, well, I feel this way and I approach my wife like this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think about it this way and we used to fight over this, but now this is how we get along. And it's so funny because you're describing Keith's thing. Now that Keith came out, we're all going to yell.
Yeah.
And scream.
Yeah.
For me, I only scream when we play cornball.
Yeah, scream? Excuse me? No, you talk shit.
That's
like you're on a stoop.
That's Kenda's name for a cornhole, by the way.
Shit talker McGee.
By the way, so do you. I just want to point out, okay, so
mm-hmm.
so somebody brought a cornball machine. What is it? Cornhole?
A machine. It's a piece of wood.
It's a piece of wood with a hole in it. And I started obsessing over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Emily was serious that she didn't want to play any, because we also brought Jerome brought a word game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why are we playing in the round? Let's get teams. And she goes, no, you can't handle this. This is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on, we can. No, okay, I'll be quiet.
You're in the corner like, oh, I hear that. Oh, that's a throw. Interesting. Well, you call that a throw. It's a throw.
Okay, but can I point out, first of all, I didn't even know I was talking
about
shit.
Point out with your long, accusing finger.
If you're a hippie, I'll tell you.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought we were playing a game. That's how you play a game. You talk about it.
Sure.
And second of all, I didn't know I was talking so much shit until people started pointing it out. And then when I was quiet and went, you know what, I'm not going to talk shit. Guess who took over in a hot fucking second? Who took over, Andrea?
I took over. Whatever. I'm open about it. You're all free love and peace, but you love to start shit. I'm open. I'm always starting shit. That's my move.
Kinda didn't know. Do you remember a certain DVD called Keith and the Girl Live on a Big Boat,
mm-hmm.
where she plays poker, jumps on a table, and rips up the cards?
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun, folks.
That's fun. That's competition.
Yeah. Who's your lawyer? Is it
you and
it's Martin Shkreli.
You and Anne were this. Me and Emily were watching.
Champions.
Yeah,
we won.
You're very good. I'll give you that. Humble, no, but mm-hmm. good. And there's you fucking all up in everyone's face. And then there's Anne pretending. Anne does this thing like, oh, I don't know if I'll get it. Oh, I did. Oh, good try. She's playing herself down like she's not great. And then, but she keeps snipe. I can't even throw this. Bam, bam. Score, score, score. Oh, fuck me. I'm the one. You're the best and you know it.
Anne texted me today apologizing for being so good.
Yeah. Not surprised.
Oh, speaking of which, we have some pictures from Ann Whitman. If you're on our mailing list, you're going to mm-hmm. see some exclusive stuff and some on our social media. Our mailing list is at keithandthegirl.com/mailer.
You can see Hemda scared of the dark, and you're trying to get into her tent.
Mm-hmm. A lot of capoeira.
Oh, great pictures.
I wake and baked. I ran through the forest. Great.
All right, going back, number one movie, Kingsman and the Golden Circle. If you saw the first one, it's kind of like that, where it's goofy but very, very violent, except this one is just beyond goofy. And I found myself not caring. Julianne Moore, a real actress, plays a character in this movie. And I know she's like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I want you to be over the top ridiculous. Like, am I really putting a person through a meat grinder? Yeah. How would I be strong enough to do that? Julianne, calm the fuck down and just do it. Okay.
And you didn't enjoy people in a meat grinder? That's like right up your alley.
They put the whole person in. leather jacket and everything, and the meat comes out pink.
Is it supposed to
be different colors?
Is it supposed to be cartoonish? Is that like what it is?
It could be cartoonish in that if you fall from the moon, you'll land safely on Earth if you hit an awning or two.
Okay.
You know, it's that kind of thing. So you go with it. But, you know, it was a little too much.
Did you smoke weed beforehand?
No, I didn't. Maybe I would have. I got to look into this.
Mm-hmm. What was it like? What's the movie with Uma Thurman where she does a lot of karate?
Kill Bill.
Yeah. Was it like that where it's like a little on the real side and then weird shit happens?
No, weird shit happened always.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. So it's consistent. You like that.
You still got to do
trying
shit.
Trying to convince him that he liked it.
Keith, you liked the movie and you just don't understand yourself.
Uh-huh. I mean, just make one of the guys fly. And it's like, how did he just fly? He does that. I don't know. And then, and also, Julianne Moore makes a hamburger out of the guy's ground beef.
Okay.
You like Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You would need to. Oh, Sweeney Todd added spices. Mm-hmm. Made mince pies out of them. You don't just throw it on an oven.
Straight to the grill.
I bet you Julianne Moore is like, I think the character would put some spices on. Like, just put it on the, we don't have all day.
Do you think when actors get in movies like that and they realize how goofy it is, they can't pull out of it? Or they feel like they're already too committed?
Yeah, because you would look very stupid. You're like, first of all, the first one was a big movie. You obviously didn't see it and you just said yes to this.
Yeah.
And now you don't know what to do. Yeah, you can't just back out.
I feel like they would back out if they felt like backing out. I feel like you can do that, but you never know what's going to be a cult classic because it's so weird.
Right.
So, like, who knew certain movies would just be crazy because they're so stupid?
I picture doing a scene and then going, people like this?
Or maybe, like, the editing was so fucking bad. Or
that's true. Well, it's like, you know, we were talking about Showgirls a while back.
Yeah.
Like, that ended up ruining that actress's career. Did she know? I mean, maybe she wasn't getting it. I don't know. People, I think she's like a laughing stock. Like that's
she can't act, so they made her career.
Right. That's true. So, but are we sure she can't act?
Yes.
Maybe she was just.
Mm-mm.
I'm defending her.
Oof,
I don't know.
That's not the one.
Yeah, not the one. Not okay. The one.
Yeah, because they would have put her in something now where you're like, oh shit, it's her.
Yeah.
She'd be in this movie.
She should be.
She'd be a robot or something, but she wasn't good enough for it.
Hmm.
Number two movie, It. Number three, the Lego Ninjago movie. Another Lego movie, this time about ninjas.
Is this the second or third?
Third. The first one was the Lego movie, then Batman movie, and now this one about a ninja.
Was the second one good? Because the first one was amazing. The
first one was fantastic. The Batman movie wasn't because the second half on was action, and I don't need action with Legos. I need comedy with Legos, and it wasn't funny like the first half. Then this third one... I'm like, enough Legos.
Ninjango.
Go to Lincoln Log or something.
They're cashing in on the nerd demo so hard.
Right.
Toys and action, like, together.
Number four, American Assassin, crap. Five, Home Again. Number six, Mother, crap. Seven, Friend Request. I'm waiting to see, retweet this first. So I'm not going to see that. The Hitman's Bodyguard, Stronger, and Wind River, the best movie of the year. That's part of the title.
Wind River versus that kid catching a pedophile movie. Which one's better?
What was the kid catching a pedophile?
He's like a genius and their next door neighbor is a creep and he has to catch it.
The Book of Henry.
Uh-huh.
The Book of Henry.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's not the shit on Wind River.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is a violent tearjerker.
Do you still have your movie pass or did she get it in the divorce?
I have it, but it hasn't been working.
Oh.
Yeah, in fact.
Shut it down. I'm just quick on the trigger.
Yeah.
Probably.
She's good at paperwork and other things.
Yeah. Name five things you like about your ex. Efficient.
Uh-huh. Cutthroat. Bloodthirsty.
All right, so that's the movie segment. Andrea Allen has a podcast of her own, as a matter of fact. It's entitled The Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
Correct.
Just recently, somebody said they spit in a drink... in someone's drink, thanks to you and your podcast and your co-host.
Yeah,
is this what you're encouraging on your show?
No, I mean, okay, maybe my behavior in particular inspires a little outlandishness. I will cop up to that. But we get more and more, we get fans sending us emails or, you know, Facebook or Instagram, like DMing an Instagram or whatever. And some of them are lovely. But a lot of them are like, hey, I'm a fucking crazy. And like this one particular girl was like, You guys inspired me. I befriended a bartender. You inspired me to get the bartender to spit in my friend's drink, my friend who slept with my boyfriend, as like a getting at her. And I was like, hey, keep spitting, haha. I don't know. What am I supposed to do about it?
You're deciding that the hot mess comedy hour is the way you live your life.
I mean, yeah, like, go ahead. Am I surprised that a lot of our fans are a little on the weird side? No, look at the hosts. It's a very clear correlation.
I will say your co-host, Emily Lubin, holy shit, every time she opens her mouth, she fucking breaks it down. She takes no bullshit. She's just like, yeah, you're saying that because of this. It's like, true. Very
yeah.
True.
She knows. She sees. But yeah, she's fucked up too. So I'm not the only one here. I'm the louder one of the two in terms of the bad things I do. But she is just as crazy in a different way.
And shout out to all the bartenders in the unemployment line. All right. Sure. Andrea, thank you. Always fun.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for spreading the word. KeithandTheGirl.com.